From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
So our beloved Father, please come down and heal us. We are waiting for your time. Open up the heavens, shower down your presence. We respond to your great love. Satisfied with anything ordinary, we won't be satisfied at all. From the bottom of our hearts, oh God, we won't be satisfied with anything ordinary, we won't be satisfied at all. Open up the sky, pour down like rain. We don't want blessing, we want all over this place this morning. Let the heavens hear your voice. Oh, it's the presence of God we're asking for. Your presence, oh God. You don't want to see Jesus this morning? In the glory of His light, may we see Jesus. May we see Jesus this morning. No matter if it ain't shine. Yes, Lord. Oh, we won't be sad. To. This morning, we will not be satisfied with anything ordinary as the presence of the Lord descend among us this morning. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied. Satan, get out of this place. Father, speak to us. In Jesus' name, somebody shouted, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Luke chapter, Job chapter 15 and verse 8. Are you glad to be in church this Sunday morning? It's nice to see all of this. Beautiful. Yeah, we must defy all odds and come into his house. 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., 10 a.m. to 12. Sunday must be a major day. I mean, all your week must culminate into a major attendance and major presence on a Sunday morning. Otherwise, I don't know who you are. Yeah, I don't know who you are when you say you're a Christian and Sunday morning is not one of your major times. It's good to see you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to see you. Wonderful. So I'm glad to be sitting next to you. I hope you don't disturb me from hearing the word of God. Job chapter 15 and verse 8. The Bible says, has thou heard? Somebody say, has thou heard? Ask the person sitting next to you, has thou heard? The secret of God. So we're looking at victory secrets, and we're saying that it is the secrets that comes from God that actually helps us in life. To one us, Father. Wonderful. You're welcome, sir. And I was just checking the Greek word, or let's say the Hebrew word, and the meaning of the word secret. And the Bible is saying that the Olive Tree Enhanced Strong's Dictionary is saying counsel. When we say, has thou heard the secret of God? The word secret there means counsel. It means secret counsel. It's good to see the branch pastors around. It's nice fellowship. Amen. He says counsel, secret counsel. Or he says it means familiar conversation. Familiar conversation, intimacy with God. So when Job asked the question, has thou heard the secret of God? It's a very, very important question. And it's a question that you and I must ask ourselves. Do you really, is that Jamal? Do you really know the secret, the counsel, the mindset of God? Is it something you know? Do you really know God's mind about life, about you, about Guyana, about your next step, about your next move? Is it something you know? Is it something you have under control? I think the answer is no. Because what we have been doing in the house of the Lord, basically, is trial and error. We are just trying things. We are just gambling with our lives. We just do things that we think is right, but we don't know whether they are right. We're just doing things. We are falling in love all over the place. We are making choices. We are making decisions. We are taking jobs. We are traveling here and there. But have you really gotten to find out the counsel? The counsel of God. I remember when a hand appeared at one of the feasts of Belteshazzar. Is it Belshazzar? His brother Belshazzar. Belteshazzar, I think it's Daniel. Belshazzar, when he was drinking from the golden vessels that Solomon dedicated to God in the temple in Jerusalem. When his father Nebuchadnezzar went and besieged Israel and took the guys to Babylon into slavery. He took all the golden vessels, the golden cups that Solomon had dedicated to God. And when Nebuchadnezzar passed away, he passed away knowing that there's only one true God. And for me, that is the main thing that we live for. That our lives, our conversations, everything about us must go to prove that there's only one true God. But interestingly, that's not happens. But we are a generation who are going to prove that. As a shepherd house is going to bring that back. Amen. Because what do you live for? Your life must reflect the fact that there is one God and there is a God. So when Belshazzar went into the treasury and took out those golden vessels, and the Bible says he began to drink from the cups with his girlfriends. Yeah? They drank wine. Yeah? Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his girlfriends, drank in them. Is it you, that this is where we learn that it's not every place you should go. It's not everything you should use. It's not everything you should say. It's not everything that you should even allow to cross your mind to stay. There are certain things that are the privilege of God and of his kingdom. There are certain things that are privileges of your father or of your parents. There are certain things that are the privileges of the husband. This is how we learn things in life. That you cannot just make everything universal and common. Everything is not a universal remote control. It's the Chinese who are bringing that idea that any remote can work anywhere. But there must be remotes that work somewhere and doesn't work in other places. There must be some cups and plates and spoons that are reserved for the man of the house. There must be certain things that are reserved for God. The Sunday morning must be for God. I said your time must be for God. Your heart must be reserved for God. It's not everything you just allow any and everybody to have access to. And that's a mistake this guy made. Because he saw the vessels. His father never drank from them. And when he was growing up in the palace, he should have learned some sense. Yeah, but I'm sure his wives were kissing him and putting their tongues in his ears, and he was doing and he was going mad. He was catching cramp. Basidi, ning ning, and all them things. So anything that came out of his mouth, he would say, hey, break the cups. The gold ones. And they brought it. The Bible says he drank in them. And then in the next verse, the Bible says they drank wine and then they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone. He said, this is also when you give credit to the wrong person. When God is the one who has given you your promotion, you think that it's because of your certificate. It's because of your ability. It is God who has blessed you with your vehicle, but you think that it's because of your credit, whatever. No. It's God. They drank and they praised the wrong people. And then verse 5 says something. In the same hour came four fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. You see, I am asking, and God is asking us, have we had intimacy with him about life? That's all we are asking. That's all that God is asking. You see, what God wants for you and I is that we will be so privileged to get to know certain things that people don't know. Secrets that will give us victory. We can no longer walk as ordinary men and women on earth. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. We are no longer, and we should no longer walk as ordinary men and women who are just doing anything, going anywhere, just trying anything. Are you not tired? Are you not tired? Have you not seen that things have not worked for a long time? And you're almost going to die with not having any form of success in life. Meanwhile, you say you're a Christian, so what difference does it make? In fact, some unbelievers appear to be even prospering and succeeding more than those of us who come to church. But you see, the difference is that we have not taken time to find out God's mind and God's secrets and God's counsels about our lives. Why should we give our lives to God
Why should we say we are Christians and suffer? You're not fine. So when the hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall, then the whole place was in pandemonium. They needed somebody who could understand those writings on the wall. Because you don't know what's happening. A hand has appeared. Not only did the hand appear, he came to write something. So at least the hand alone is scary. Then he has written something that you don't also understand. I'm sure the alcohol disappeared from his bloodstream. Even you and I, if we see a hand in our bedroom. Hey. You see, we have become too natural and too normal. That now miracles, signs, and wonders seem very strange to us. Now, when I was in Toronto, I was talking to them about the supernatural. And I was saying that right now, as I'm preaching, if you see me disappear, you'll find it very strange. But if you find the closest exit. But you see, if I serve God, who can come here without a visa or aeroplane? Why shouldn't I also be able to go to Barbados without aeroplane and visa? But you see, if it happens, they'll say, he's an Obia man. They say, he's a juju man. That's what people say. And Christians will also say the same thing. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is sad that the people of God cannot be identified with a real culture and tradition of heaven and of the kingdom of God. The main place where we are, the Bible says that any man who is born again, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. When we are saved, we enter into a kingdom, a realm, where the realm and the things that exist in the realm must affect our lives. And that is what all of us, we fall short of. And God is bringing us back. I said, God is bringing us back. Yes, signs and wonders are going to happen with your life. So that's what we're talking about in the early rain service. That we need to know the secrets of God, the mind of God, the counsel of God. That comes as a result of intimacy. And therefore, we no longer should become try and error gamblers, super bet customers. Betting with our lives, betting with our careers, betting with our directions, doing all kinds of things until something small, luck, hits up. Yeah? You think about it. One day, one of my church members called me and said, Bishop, you won't believe what has happened to me. I said, why? He said, I woke up with 6 numbers in my head. He says, Bishop, I don't do lotto. I don't gamble. I've never done that, something like that before. But I have these 6 numbers in my head all morning. I mean, if you get 6 numbers as a Christian, what will you think of? What will you think of? You think of what? Lotto? Yeah. At what? Soul's phone number. That's how we don't prosper. Because we think everything is souls. Yeah, let's be serious. You get 6 numbers. Hey, it is lotto. There's time for everything. So the brother says he ignored the number, but the number didn't want to go. So then he said, you know what? He said, you know what? Let me just go and buy the ticket. So he went and he bought a ticket. And he came and he put the ticket somewhere. Forgot about the ticket. Then one day, he wakes up and then he hears a still small voice. Boy, what's going on? You serious? Where are the tickets? Then he said he ignored the voice. He said the voice still kept ringing. He said, but you don't want to go and check the tickets? So he says it was almost like a bother as a nuisance. So he went to look for the ticket. He had to go, literally go and look for the tickets. He found them. He said, all right. Let me just go to the lotto department, the girl who I bought the lotto from. The lotto, the numbers have been mentioned, whatever, he didn't even know. So he went to the place where he bought the lotto. And then the girl looked at the numbers. And he checked some paper. And he said, go to the good luck, go to the head office. When he went to the head office, $400,000+. You sit down and say, a church member's number, phone number, they are calling you. You sit down and talk about souls' numbers. And talk about chapters and verses of the Bible. And talk about God is trying to bring something to you. We are not people who buy lotto numbers. I am not saying go and buy a lotto number. Listen to me and listen to me well. When I went to Shepherd House, the bishop was preaching that we should buy lotto. You will never win. You will never win. But I'm saying that, you see, the reason why I'm saying this is that, you see, the secret of God is a secret. That's why we get confused. That's why somebody will say a church member's number. Because it's a secret. And you get confused when you get a secret. The problem with the secret is that we are so natural. We are so normal. We are not spiritual at all. We don't think like God at all. So when God's secret drops among us, we get confused. We misunderstand and we misinterpret it. Of course, if somebody would have told you, actually, I woke up and I got a lotto number, you say, hey, Christians don't buy lotto. So no, Christians, that's what you say. That's what you do. That's what you say. But don't you think the 400,000 will do something for you? You glad forget 400,000 this morning? You glad forget 400,000? You glad? Anita, the table in front of your house will begin to have nice things on them. Hey, 400,000. Or because you just woke up in the morning and got. That's what I'm talking about. Victory secrets. The mind of God. You see, because you can hear things from God that as a human being, you'll be confused about them. You say, is it God? We don't know God at all. We do not know God at all. But ladies and gentlemen, it is the mind of God that will give us the upper hand in life. I said it's the mind of God that will give us the upper hand in life. So the Bible says, what was written on the wall? Daniel was a guy who had the secret. He had the intimacy with God that brought the explanation of the words on the wall. And he explained it. Don't you dream dreams and then you wonder what it means? And then people tell you all kind of thing. All kind of stupidness. One day, when I was saved as a young Christian, my first year, my pastor had a vision about me. And he said that when he saw me, I was doing barbecue. Yeah. And I was eating some of the meat and I was giving some of the meat out. Now, from the country I was born in, when you see anybody eating meat, the person is either a witch or a wizard in a dream. Eh? Oh, that's what we believe. If I dream and Jewel is eating meat, I say, "Aish! Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know that she's..." straight. I mean, we are not going to be straight. So when he told me that, he looked at my face and he was smiling. Then he asked me whether I'm afraid. I said, you know meat and these things. He said, no, I shouldn't be afraid. Then he explained what God was actually telling him about me. I said, wow, I won't tell you. But you could have gone and said, that guy is a wizard.
I saw him eating in the night, eating flesh, meat. Yeah. That would have been the Congo. If I had gone to tell anybody that my pastor saw me like this and he didn't tell me the meaning and I'm looking for the meaning, I will hear things that would discourage me. When you get to know the mind of God, people will tell you that something is wrong with your head. When God told Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac, you imagine Abraham going to talk to his friends and say, they're playing domino. He say, you know what, man, let me tell you something. Something that, you know, God told me. You know my son Isaac? He say, yeah, that little boy at your old age. Yeah, God says I should go and kill him. They will stop playing the domino. And then they will say, Abraham, do you really believe that God wants you to kill your son? But you didn't hear it well. You didn't hear it well. Go back. You didn't hear it well. Any and everybody will discourage you about the mind of God. That's why you have to be very careful. But the mind of God, we have learned, it's a secret to our prosperity. And this one, I want to give you one other reason why we need the mind of God. And then we'll close. I have visitors who have to go and preach in their churches. So I want to be decent. Your church will work this morning, I tell you. The secret of God. The next thing I want you to know about why we need to know the secret of God is that the secret of God is giving at special seasons of your life. The secret of God is giving at special seasons of your life. What does Romans 8:14 say? Romans 8:14 says that those that are led by the Spirit, they are what? They are the sons of God. Zanikia? They are the sons of God. And the other folks, you become big people. You went for them yesterday, right? You become big people. Shania, is it Shania? Is that the name? You become a big girl now? You get red lipstick and all them things. Yeah. You don't come to church. You see what I'll do to you. You see, in this life, what happens is that you need to be guided every step of the way. Right? But the issue is, who is guiding you? Because life is like a road. It's not straight. It turns. It has junctions. You can turn at the wrong corner of life. And you can go very far before you realize that you've taken the wrong road. And sometimes it's so difficult to return to the main road to continue from where you were. So the Bible says that it is God, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are a peculiar people. They are the sons of God. So God is the one who leads us in this life. Now, there are seasons of our lives. And there are several seasons. The time when you were a little, a toddler, a baby, this, that. A time when you become a young lady, a teenager. There are seasons of our lives. And during those seasons, God has a mind for us. He has a secret for us. What about you? No, what about you? God gave you the money because you are the one who is in his house. You are the one who he can talk to you to give the money to his church. He can't tell unbelievers. Do you think these unbelievers will give money to the church? Few of them will give the money to the church. They rather feed the poor at border market rather than to give the money to the church. They want to see where the money is going. They are so proud that they don't want to give the liquid cash to the church. They want to see where the money is going. But I can't tell you the church business where we need money. If you give the money, you shouldn't look at where it's going. Even if it's coming into my pocket, it doesn't matter because I also need some money in my pocket too. I'm part of God's work. Am I not part of God's work? I'm part of God's work. Yeah. And that's what people don't understand. People think, oh, when we are buying fan, when we are doing the wall, that's where my money should come. What about the man who is preaching? If I fall dead right now, where is the church going to be? You'd rather give me money so I eat and feel strong. Buy shoes and clothes. Every Sunday I should be standing and dress up and be preaching powerfully. Yeah. When you see me on the road, you'll be proud to say, that's my bishop. You only want to bring fun for the church. You want to buy this light for the church. You want to buy blocks and cement. The pastor eats blocks and cement? We need the secrets of God. I also need a barrel. You think it's only you who needs barrel? I also need barrel. No, you see, whatever you depend on, if it is not strengthened, you lose it and it will affect you. And we all know that our pastor is very, very important in our lives. So if you don't strengthen your pastor and he is no more, he dies early, many of you will be lost. Many of you will be lost. Many of you will be lost. So you sit down and think about it carefully. That when God gives you money, all the purposes or all the things you get in your life are directed at the things of God. God is giving you a wife so that you can squeeze her Bobby. You think it's because of Bobby that God gave you a wife? We are the ones who are looking at Bobby. So we miss it. So we talk about, I want somebody who's tall. I want somebody who's short. I want somebody who has money. I want somebody who has this. God is not concerned about all of that. In fact, to think about a good husband, a good wife for yourself, you should think about someone who doesn't have anything, who is nobody. Yeah. No. Bishop, you see, but we can't comprehend that. Because the guy we want to marry, the girl we want to marry, must fit into a certain profile. Yeah. But I said, you look at it. If I had not married my wife, if I had married somebody else. Because maybe some of you don't understand what I'm talking about. It is my wife who was in Lighthouse. I was in another church. And when I married her, I was actually taking her away from her church to my church. Because that's the tradition. A man doesn't follow a woman anywhere. It's women who follow men to their church. So you see that it's also a little twisted. And I am from the Ashanti tribe. We are very masculine in our culture. I can't come and marry a woman and I go to the woman's church. Tofiakwa! Where is your manhood when you follow a woman to her church? Where is your manhood? Where is that thing that juggles in front of you? Where is it? Your manhood. Your manhood is that you come in and say, girl, follow me. That's how men behave in my tribe. Yeah. And when I decided to follow her to her church, my friends were laughing at me. Because it was strange that a man would follow a woman to her church. It had the secrets of God. That's why I'm in Guyana today. Because of that connection. I tell you. That's why when I was consecrated, we went home the night. Instead of people going to do they asking me for offering. I said, sweetie, darling, you better go and open the door wide. Let me enjoy myself. You ask her. I said, what do you mean by offering? He said, you see how I brought you to the church and now they made yourself. I said, hey, come on. Don't bring yourself. Let me see something. Let me. Let's be serious here. A hungry man is an angry man. Hello. Yeah. Hey, I said, don't let me take my hat and shine it on you. You go black out right now. Yeah. Who's laughing like that? The connection is what has made me who I am today. If there was nothing else for her in my life, the ministry, she has decided, God used her to set me on a certain path of my life and ministry. That's it. Jacob, so I'm asking, when is your time? At that season of your life. Hey, I pray for you, Jacobs, that you not look at Batty. Hey. That your eyes will not just be on a woman's flesh, buttocks. Buttocks. Hey. Which will become wobbly, wobbly, wobbly when they are growing old. They have to wear some big boxer shorts to keep it together. And you get excited? You think God is concerned about buttocks? God's ways, God is concerned about what is in the body, not the body. What is in the body? Job 29 and verse 2. Very quickly, I'm closing. Let me give you the scripture before you say I didn't give you a scripture. The secret of God is given at special seasons of your life. And I'm sure some of the big men around will testify. We met some women, we thought they were our sweethearts. I don't know. The men who are big and who have children mothers. I don't know. Do you have a child mother? You do. Are you married to her? Oh, I like you. Because we didn't know until things began to shape up. They realized that, nah, no sir. He's smiling. I got it. Woo. That's what it is. Huh? To Anna's father. Is it not so? Yeah. This is a big man. He laughing. Mr. McLean. They will tell you. They will tell you that, Charlie, it's not easy. You see a woman, you fall in love with her, you think she is a real deal. Yeah. Only to realize that it's a witch you've gone to get involved with. Look at how many women are putting pepper in men's eyes here in Guyana. Because of a child. You went to just enjoy yourself a little bit. Then one morning she come and tell you she's pregnant. Let's be serious. I didn't come in for this one here. Oh, that I was as in the man's past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. By his light I walked through darkness. Verse 4 says what? As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, upon my body. It's like when he was young, the Lord used to lead him and guide him. Hey, I'm sure many of us have made decisions in life that we have regretted before. Not true? Let me see your hand if you are like that also. Hey, it wasn't necessary if only you knew the mind of God. So from now, let us do things well. Before we make any decision, let's discuss. Let's pray. There are two ways you can get the mind of God, is to meditate and to pray. To know the mind of God, the secret of God, is through meditation and through prayer. Do not do anything without praying and without doing meditation. Don't do that. If you want to migrate, think about it well. Think about it. I don't believe in migration unless God says you should. I don't believe in it. Sister High is in Los Angeles now on a month's vacation. And she's looking to go to the church. Apostle Joel is in Los Angeles. His church is in Los Angeles. So you know Apostle Joel. He's our senior brother here. So Hyacinth wants to go to his church. She can't find a place. Nobody want to take Shay. Nobody didn't get time with Shay. The last Wednesday she went to church. You know how? Apostle, I gave her Apostle's number. So Apostle organized one of his pastors to go 45 minutes to an hour away to pick her up and bring her to church and take her back. Nobody didn't get time with you. She did home all the time. When you are migrating, you should think about it. You should think about it. That even in America, it takes the church to even make you see some. It's fantastic. So be careful. Be careful. When the people say a house, think about it. Think about a house. How do I get a house? They say, don't worry. We'll give you this money and you build a house. You say, hey, really? Is it because you love me or what? It's because you want a slave to work for you. Think about things. Don't make decisions at the seasons of your life without getting to know the mind and the secret of God. May the Lord help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hey, I thought you would clap. Share. Oprah Winfrey, they clap. Eh? Jerry Springer, they clap. We don't want to clap in the church. Hey, I beg you. Amen. Oh. Father, I pray for your children. I pray for your people. Every season of their life, I ask, oh God, that some way, somehow, you cause them and prompt them to seek your face. Bible says that we should not trust in our own understanding. We should trust in the Lord with all our heart. And commit our ways on Him or to Him, for He will direct our paths. You want to direct our paths. But this thing about free will and our ability to decide for ourselves is what is killing us, oh God. Your word says it is you who works in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, please work in us, all of us, to will. Let our will be enshrined in your will. Let our steps be the steps you ask us and you lead us, oh God. May we not walk in this dark world without the light that comes from you. Like Job said, that it is your light that helped him in the darkness. May that be our story also. May we not hit our legs against any stone and any rocks, oh God. May our life not be wasted because we have not thought about the secrets and the mind of God in taking decisions and making moves in life. Thank you that we are healed because of your word. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are here this morning. You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You are not saved. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. You want to make a decision this morning and say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. You don't want to go to hell when you die. You want to say, please, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Come and save my soul. Come and save my life. I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. I want eternal life. I don't want to go to hell when I die. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You want to pray that prayer this morning? I'm here for you. I'm here to help you and to guide you. And saying that prayer. If you are here like that, all I'm asking is your right hand up above your head, and I'll pray with you. You are here like that, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are like that, if you are here like that, just your right hand up above your head, your right hand up above your head, your right hand up above your head, and I'll pray with you. Anybody here? Every eye closed, every head bowed. Bishop, please, I don't want to go to hell when I die. I need prayer. If you are here like that, your right hand up high, your right hand, just your right hand above your head, so I can see and I will pray with you. God bless you. I see the hand. God bless you. The decision time is now. Decision time is now. This is the moment and this is the time. Don't harden your heart. God is calling you. Bishop, please pray for me. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. Just your right hand up high. I will pray with you. Your right hand. Your right hand. God bless you. I see that hand. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to please come to me. Come to the front. Come. I want to pray for you. Oh, clap for him as he comes. Come on, clap for him as he comes. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray. Pray this prayer after me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart right now, and I invite Jesus Christ. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.